Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, it is all about him. It's not about the tinsel. It's not about the presence. It's not about everything else. This day is about him. And aren't we so blessed that he gave up the throne of heaven and came to earth to be born a babe in a manger, to live amongst us, Emmanuel, God with us, and then to go to the cross and die in our place. This is the fourth, actually, last week was the fourth, but it's the fourth Sunday of Advent, and it's also the Sunday that we light the Christ candle as we talk about him and share his story this morning from some of those that were there and hear their perspective on the events of that day. So as I pray, Nathan and his family is going to come and light the Advent candles for us. So let's pray. Father, we just do this morning give you thanks for this special day that we have set aside to celebrate across the world the birth of the Savior, born in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for what it means to those of us that love you and are committed to following you. Thank you that that baby would give us eternal life by going to the cross in our place. Thank you that he was willing to bear the humiliation of all that we put him through and to willingly give up his life for us. Thank you, Father, that he did not stay dead, that we serve and love a living Savior. For he was resurrected on the third day and now is seated with you in the heavenlies, making intercession for us. These wonderful truths we're so familiar with, Father, and yet this day we focus on them and what it means for each one of us individually. And so as we hear the story, the age-old story told once again, just pray that it would speak to each one of our hearts, possibly in a way that it never has. Father, we pray also for our friends and neighbors and possibly some here, family members that do not know you yet. We pray for their souls, their eternal souls, that maybe this day their eyes would be open to see the Savior. For all these things, we give you thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Joy to the World, the hymn, the inspiration of that came from the scripture that Dina read for us, and it's found there in Psalm 98, 4 through 9. And a couple of the words that pop out, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in singing for joy and sing praises. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. I mean, this is celebratory, isn't it? I mean, this is like, boy, bang the tambourines, pound the drums, sound the trumpets, sing and shout for joy, that internal wonderful feeling within that the Savior's born in Bethlehem. You know, no more let sin and sorrow reign, but rejoice in the Lord. To share this story this morning, I want us to look at it from the perspective of four events that were there. What I want to do is, as a symbolism, and I'm getting a reputation because Joy says, what are you going to do this morning? And that question was echoed by several others. And I said, nothing. She says, I don't trust you. No, she did. She said, I've learned to trust you. On that night, the light of the world came into darkness. The story begins in antiquity long ago, but we're going to pick it up with a young man who's a carpenter, lives in the town of Nazareth. He's engaged to a beautiful, young, righteous girl of upright moral character. Loves her dearly, as all young men about to marry, excited for the life that's in front of them and what's going to happen to them. She's beautiful. She's sweet. She's kind. She's honest. She's forthright. All the things that you would desire for a helpmate for all eternity. So they meet one afternoon someplace around Nazareth, and she comes to him with a strange look in her eye and says, Joseph, I have something to share with you. I'm with child. Can you imagine right then what flooded through Joseph's heart and in his mind? How can this be? I trusted her. How could she do this? And what do I do now? I thought she was a virtuous woman, a righteous, upstanding moral character. And now she's pregnant. They can stone her for this. How could she be an adulteress? And in his agony, wondering what to do, the angel of the Lord comes to him and says to him, Joseph, fear not to take Mary for your wife, because she is with child of the Holy Spirit. God has come upon her, and she will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. So Joseph marries Mary. They start to establish their home there in Nazareth, and then a decree goes out that everybody's got to register back to your hometown, and for them, that hometown is Bethlehem. Can you imagine? Our daughter Annie is 8-plus months pregnant right now, and she is not the slim, trim Annie you know. She's heavy with child. And I look at Annie now as we Skype with them. She's heavy with child, and I think, oh my gosh, what was it for Mary to make that trek to Bethlehem? And Joseph tenderly carrying her. We don't know, as the image shares there, if they went on a donkey or not. We don't know how they did it. They probably traveled in a caravan because that was the safest way to go. When they got there, of course, everybody had funneled into Bethlehem. The place was alive with activity. All the inns were full. Probably all the stables were full. It was a beehive because everybody was there. People seeing relatives they hadn't seen for a long time. It was a celebration of coming together to register. So there's no room in the inn, so they find a stable. And there, on that Christmas night, our Savior is born. She wraps him in swaddling clothes and lays him in a manger. In the regions around there, Bethlehem must have been an agricultural community. Out there that night, there are shepherds tending their sheep, watching over them. That's their responsibility. That's their job. All of a sudden, an angel appears in front of them. Out of the darkness of night, bang, this radiant white angel is standing in front of them. And they are terrified. And who would not be? They have not seen anything like this. They know about wolves and bears and other critters that can cause harm to their sheep. But none of us have ever seen anything like this, and they certainly hadn't either. And the angel says, do not be afraid. Easy for him to say. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For tonight, in the city of Bethlehem, has been born unto you a Savior, the Savior of mankind. He encourages them to go. And so the shepherds leave their flocks. They travel to Bethlehem. They find their way to that little manger where the Savior is laid. And behold, they see him. And they understand what the angel was talking about. And at that moment also, as they're talking to the angel, all of a sudden there's a heavenly choir that's shouting about the wondrous glory of the Savior being born. And the heavens are lit. And they see the baby. And you know what they do before they go back to their sheep? They spread the news of what they've seen as far as they can that night. Hey, in the manger, the Savior's been born of the world. We know who he is. The angel told us. He's been born right in our midst. He is here. And then they go back to their sheep. They proclaim the Savior is born. Miles and miles away to the east, there have been some men that have been watching the heavens. We don't know how they knew to watch. We don't even know much about the Magi. We don't know who they were exactly, what their roles were in society. But for some reason, God had placed it in these men's hearts to watch for a sign in the heavens. So they gathered together and they studied the stars. And on this night, look, look, the star. It's there. Hurry, we must go. We must go. This is what we've been waiting for. We must go. We don't know how many of them there were. And certainly, though as beautiful as it is, they probably did not travel alone, but in a caravan up through the trade routes heading to the west, following the star. We don't even know about the star. But I can only imagine when the glory of God shone to those shepherds, that created an immense light. And could that not be the star they saw? So they followed, ever westward, ever proceeding, moving faithfully on, following the star, because in their heart and their mind, this star would guide them to the king, their king, whom they'd never met and didn't know much of. They came into Jerusalem and they inquired, "We've seen his star in the east. Where should we look for him?" Herod had the scribes and the Pharisees search the scriptures, and they found it's in Bethlehem. Herod said, "Go to Bethlehem. Make careful search for the child. And when you find him, report back to me so I can come and worship him too." So the Magi gathered up. They moved into Bethlehem, and they found the baby and his mother and father in a house. In a house. And finding him, they came in, they knelt down, and they worshiped him, and they offered their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they worshiped the Savior of the world because they'd seen his star. And God had called them to the Savior by following the star. But being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they departed for their land another way. 8 days later, as was Jewish custom, Mary and Joseph took the baby to Jerusalem, to the temple, and there, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Simeon was led to them. This is Rembrandt's painting of Simeon and the baby Jesus and Mary. Simeon held the baby because he'd been told of the Lord that he should not see death until his eyes looked upon his Savior. As he held that baby, he said, "Now my eyes have seen my salvation. Let thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen the salvation of mankind." He gave the baby back. Mary and Joseph contemplated these things. What can they possibly mean? And shortly thereafter, Joseph in a dream received a message from the Lord. Depart. Leave, go to Egypt, because those that seek after the baby are going to seek after to kill him. So flee, Joseph, flee. If those men could join us today here at Oak Grove and could share their personal story with each one of us, or collectively with us this Christmas day, what do you think they would say about their experiences? For some reason, my mind kept thinking on that. What would they say to us today, to each of us, you and me? Here's what I think Joseph would say. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean into your own understanding. All your ways, acknowledge him, the Savior, my son. He'll direct your paths. I think you would say that because think of Joseph's life. He's going to marry a girl. She ends up pregnant. By what? The Holy Spirit? What? How? And yet the Lord says, and Joseph, just marry her. And he's obedient to do it. Does he know what's going to happen? No. He's obedient on that day to be obedient to the Lord. Through circumstances, he's directed by the Lord to take her to Bethlehem, that the prophecies might be fulfilled. He takes her to Bethlehem and cares for her. He takes him by obedience to the law, to the temple, to be circumcised. And then warned in a dream that Herod's going to try to kill the child, he in faith takes him to Egypt. And then when Herod is gone, by faith he brings him back. Joseph is an obedient servant. God knew his man. He knew exactly the man for the task that he had for him. So I think Joseph would say, trust in the Lord, all of you, even when you don't understand what's going on. Trust in the Lord. And then I think he'd ask, do you? Do you trust him, the light of the world? What about the shepherds and what they witnessed that day? I think they might say to us, and I put this in a first person, it comes from Luke 2:17, and when we had seen him, we made known the statement which we had been told about the Christ, about the child. They proclaimed who he was to all that would listen, and even those that wouldn't, in the regions of Bethlehem and beyond. They were the first evangelist, family. They could not bottle it up inside. They had seen a miraculous occurrence and had been led to the Savior. They had to share it, just like we have to share good news when it happens to our families. Just like I had to share with you when our grandson was born right after Thanksgiving. When there's wonderful news in our hearts, we have to share it. And the shepherds shared it before they went back to the normalcy of being shepherds. They had a higher calling that night, sharing the news the Savior is in Bethlehem. What about us? I think they might say to us, have you made him known? Have you shared the joy of the world, the joy that's in your hearts? Or are you still tied up in the mundane things of your life like shepherding? Or have you laid it aside to share the good news that the Savior is born wherever you go? What about the Magi? What would they say to us? Again, a little bit of first person. If we look at Matthew 2:11, this is what they said. We came into the house and we saw the child with Mary, his mother. We fell down and we worshiped him. And we opened our treasures of gold and frankincense and myrrh and presented them to him. Are we worshiping the Savior with our treasures? What he's entrusted us with? The skills that he's given you? The knowledge that he's given you, the resources that he's given you, the personality he's given to you, the talents he's given to you. Are you worshiping him? I think that would be their question. Have you presented him your treasure? Say, Lord, take it all. I give myself and all that I have to you. I think that's the question they would ask us on Christmas Day. What about Simeon? I think this is what he would say. Again, in a first person from Luke 2:30-32, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory to thy people Israel." Simeon would have to say, have your eyes seen your salvation? Not just on a Christmas card, not just on a little manger scene, but have the eyes of your heart been opened to see your salvation? Do you see what the light of the world is? Your Savior, born to die for you, born to pay the penalty of sin in your life and of your life. I think Simeon would say, have your eyes seen him? Do you know him? Not intellectually. That's easy. Anybody can study him. But have you surrendered and said, Lord Jesus, I know I need you in my life, for I am a wretched sinner, dead in my trespasses and sin. If that's your condition today, may I invite you to pray that prayer. It's a simple prayer of faith. Lord, I need you in my life. I need your saving grace in my life. And I know that if I were to die today in my sin, that I would face eternal judgment. But I know that you have paid the price by going to the cross in my stead. He is the light of the world. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He's the Lamb of God, slain for each one of us. He is the Christ, Emmanuel, born in a manger on the day that we celebrate, this day, Christmas Day. May we rejoice with exceedingly great joy in our Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. We have so much to give thanks for. And may it just, the thanksgiving in our hearts for what you've done, just radiated joy that others have to ask, what is it about you? And we can say, this is not about me. This is about him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this Christmas day. Thank you on this day we have set aside to worship you. Father, thank you for the gift of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. For all these things on this day, we give you thanks. Amen.